In this town, there's no off-season. The news never stops, and neither do we. It's always game day in Cleveland with Andy Baskin and Daryl Ryder.
And welcome to another edition of It's Always Game Day in Cleveland, although maybe you're hoping that it wasn't game day in Cleveland today because, oh boy, the Browns offense did not look good and there are a ton of issues, including injuries, after a 21-15 loss to the New York Giants. Again, we are brought to you by Smiley One and Bryant, Northeast Ohio's premier heating and cooling solution. Daryl, give me a solution to what the Browns ail right now because they're in trouble.
I hope they got a group discount on the MRIs.
That's good.
Miles Garrett, Jedrick Wills, Wyatt Teller. To have to completely reshuffle your offensive line in the middle of a game, Andy.
James Hudson, too.
James Hudson. Yeah. Like, it's bad. And it's even worse because Jed, this was his first time back, so he's hurt again. Jack Conklin was supposed to come back, got hurt before the game even was played. They got big problems on the offensive line right now because Deshaun Watson's getting pressured like you can't believe. He got sacked 8 times, which I think ties or is a career high for him. He got hit 9 more times, similar to week 1 against Dallas. He got hit 17 times again, so twice in 3 games, Andy. Deshaun Watson's been hit 17 times. That's just not sustainable.
Well, it's interesting, too, that even with all that happening, he still came up with a pretty big run. And in the fourth quarter, they kind of woke up a little bit, but self-destruction hurt the Browns. I think fans are probably looking back at this game going, okay, here's the $230 million quarterback. They're down a touchdown. They can go win the game at the end because they went for a two-point conversion, and there's less than 5 minutes and 30 seconds to go in the game. Go win the game.
Yeah.
Go. No one wants to hear the excuses of I don't have David Njoku. I don't have I don't have Chubb. I don't have my offensive line. Here it is. Ball's in your court. I don't know that that's fair, and I also don't think that the one fumble was totally his fault at all.
Well, there are 3 plays that were just complete self-destruction. One was the Greg Newsome personal foul, roughing the quarterback.
You mean touching the quarterback? That was a horrible call.
It was a terrible call. I talked to Greg about it after the game. He didn't feel he hit Daniel Jones in the helmet, which is the foul that was called. The official that threw the flag saw Daniel Jones do one of these when he got hit, and how Newsome explained it to me was he pulled up, and as he pulled up, he got him in the upper chest, and that's what caused Daniel to go back a little bit, and it drew the flag. But look, I mean,
and it was an interception, and the Browns had the ball deep,
right? In Giants territory. They could have delivered a knockout punch right out of the gate, so that comes off the board 13 plays later, and the Giants tie the game. The second self-destruct was, you mentioned it, the Jerome Ford fumble on the they're in the gun. Look, they practice this crap 150 times of practice, and I am not exaggerating, Andy. We don't get to see much in practice now that they're in season because obviously they don't want to see in any of their lineup combinations or plays they might be running or whatever, but like they practice this stuff so much during games, during practice. They do what feels like 150 freaking handoffs every practice, right? And you get in this game and you blow a handoff, it leads to a fumble and totally shoots you in the foot. And then the third piece of self-destruction was the third and the fourth down, where they just, Jameis comes in there on 3rd and 1. They get no push whatsoever from the makeshift offensive line. Jameis is stopped short. Then my biggest pet peeve in football, 4th and 1, and you get the quarterback in shotgun. Dumbest freaking thing ever, because you got 1 yard to go and let's line the guy up 5 yards back. So now instead of one yard when the quarterback has the ball in his hands, he now needs 6.
Right.
It drives me nuts. And I understand why they do it, and all, but I hate it. Doesn't mean I have to like it. And then Deshaun, gets stopped there and good night, drive home safely, all that stuff. And they lose to the New York football freaking Giants, who frankly are not a good football team.
Well, I think the other interesting point was too that the spot would have been worthy of challenging had you
had a timeout.
So that's why they're that's the hard part, because I do think they could have challenged that spot. So I do look at two plays, but if you don't have any timeouts, it's on you.
Right.
And I don't know, the roughing the passer call, it just still bothers me. For the, it doesn't matter.
It they doesn't lost. Matter. They called
lost. Yeah, I know. They lost.
And Greg put himself in a position where it could get called. Like, whether we agree with the call or not,
no,
whether,
right.
we're on, whether we're on Greg's side or not, it doesn't matter. Like, he got called. The ball was clearly away. And even though he pulled up, he still made contact with the quarterback. And it, I mean, I thought it was a horrible call. It was embarrassingly bad. But they called it, and it took an interception off the board.
It basically was a, just, it was a 14-point turnaround.
Right.
Low call, yeah.
Right. And, you know, that comes right out of the gate. You get a great turnover on the opening kickoff, and boom, first play to Amari Cooper, touchdown, bang, 7-0 in the blink of an eye. And tell me if you agree with this. I get worried anytime the Browns start fast like that in games. It seems like every time they come out of the game.
It's true of any team, though. I will tell you that.
That
when you watch that most.
It just falls apart for them.
There's only one team I don't worry about like that. That's Ohio State, because then because it's who's on the other side of the ball. You're right. Like, when you come out, the game gets very, very long, too, when you do that, when you come out on all cylinders. And, I mean, how many times have you seen a team march down the field, 16 plays like the Browns did last week?
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden it became a game that came down to the final plays of the game. And it's just like, you think you see what you see in the beginning of the game, but good coaches make adjustments. And I thought Brian Daboll called an excellent first half. Yeah. I really do. The Browns were only on the Giants' side of the field once. I believe it was just one, maybe twice at the end.
No, it was once. One time.
One time, and that was on the touchdown pass.
Yeah.
They had one play in the first half in the Giants' side of the field. And you just... you can't win that way.
And
you
just
can't win.
And they didn't move into Giants territory until the third quarter.
Right.
With the offense. Like, you can't. And, you know, look, Deshaun wasn't great Sunday.
I don't
but
know.
But you know what? I can't. I'm not going to pin this on him.
No,
I'm not
I don't
sit
know
here
what
say,
to think. What do you think about Deshaun Watson? His offensive line is Swiss cheese right now. He's missing his second leading receiver in David Njoku. And Nick Chubb's not here. Not that any of those things matter as far as not having excuses, but it's really, really hard for me to pin this on Deshaun Watson. What we all wanted was a miracle at the end of the game, and I just don't think there was enough pixie dust out there to make a miracle
right.
happen.
Yeah, and so I'm with you. I'm not pinning this on Deshaun at all. From top to bottom, it was crapola. It was. That's all there is to it. No time to process, no time to think, which is a problem when you have a quarterback that's trying to get back his processing and thinking and internal clock and all that. He didn't have time for any of that. And then, you just have to completely blow up the offensive line. I mean, Daniel Jones, by the way, is banged up again, knee injury. We'll see if he ends up getting an MRI. Probably will. Like, it's bad. Like, it is I cannot stress how bad.
Wait,
this
did you mean
is.
DeJuan Jones? That's what you're saying.
Yeah, DeJuan Jones.
Yeah, you said Daniel. That's okay. Oh. No worries. Well, I mean, it the offensive line is a mess, and I know people are going to say, well, is this because you changed offensive line coaches, Andy? No, hurt is getting hurt.
Yeah, right? But I'll say this, in the first half, yeah, it was, because they didn't know who the hell to block in the first half. There were a couple of plays where it's like, do I take that guy? Do I take that guy? I'm just going to opt for none of them. Jedrick Wills, same thing. Do I take that guy? I'm just going to opt for none of them. You saw it on the interior of the offensive line, too. Like, give the New York Giants credit. They schemed it up very, very well. They schemed their pressure perfectly. And the Browns had absolutely no answer to it. It's like a compound fracture. The compounding element here is the fact that, on top of the fact they couldn't block anybody in the first half, everybody got hurt. And you've got Joel Bitonio at left tackle, right? You're bringing in Zach Zinner. Nick Harris has to play center. Like, you had to bring, DeJuan back in. You're trying to give him a rest.
Right.
But you can't, because Hudson got hurt. So he's got to come back. You know, it was a complete...
So how do they pick up the pieces on the offensive line? I don't even know what... I mean, Audition Tuesday is going to be fun, right?
Well, they're going to have to do something. I think Andrew Berry's going to have to bring some people in. Obviously, it starts with the MRIs on Monday, the results of those MRIs. But then I think he's going to have to bring some guys in. Like, I mean, Jed Wills just came back from knee surgery, and the knee is not great now, right? Again, Jack Conklin, can't stress it enough. He doesn't, he can't even play as he's trying to come back, right? And the big, I didn't even get to the biggest problem of them all.
Here we go.
The defensive player of the year.
Is her.
Is in bad shape too.
Right.
He's dealing with this chronic foot problem that he has, and it's not.
Which he told everybody this week. I was shocked that he said, you know, when he was a kid, he had surgery on both feet, and that he's been living in pain his entire life.
And it's not just one foot, it's both feet. And he just told us after the game that it's compounding problems because he's trying to compensate for the pain and the injury and the whatever, and then all of a sudden now it's messing some other stuff up in his lower body. And so it becomes even more problematic. And he was down. He went down in that fourth quarter. And, you know, it was great hearing the fans chant his name and stuff like that. And but, you know, he went to the medical tent. And then the next series, the defense is able to get off the field. He hobbles off the field, gets to the bench, and he just fires his helmet in frustration because he's just so upset, you know, with just – what he's dealing with. And this isn't a situation, I don't think, where they can just, I don't think you can shoot up your feet to where you don't feel anything.
No.
It's not like they do the knee or the shoulder or the, you know, where they give you the shot and you're feeling pretty good in about 5 minutes.
I can tell you personally on the shot, on the shoulder thing, it feels pretty good.
Yeah. And I don't think they can do that with his feet. So that's the, I mean, Denzel Ward played a lot more than he did last week, but you know,
he's banged up.
Yeah, he's playing with a shoulder injury. So I'm not making excuses, but there is a reality.
Right.
And, you know, last year they were able to overcome a lot. I don't know if they're going to be able to overcome this. I don't know how you overcome the 3/5 of your offensive line. Actually, it's 4/5 of your offensive line just basically being shot.
Right.
Two regulars are healthy. That's Ethan Posick, who had to go to left guard.
Right.
And Joel Petonio had to move to left tackle. Those are your only two healthy offensive linemen in your starting lineup. So 3/5 are banged up and hurt.
Welcome to the NFL, Zach Zinter, right? I mean,
yeah, like I just
gonna have to get old really fast.
So I don't know how they overcome just that aspect of it. And again, that compounds the fact that they can't deal with the pressure up front. That they, you know, Dallas smoked them. The Giants have now smoked them. But I'm a little concerned all of a sudden.
And meanwhile, Pittsburgh's 3-0.
Thanks for that. Didn't need to hear that, but
just letting you know. Just that's what we saw. I think we're done. I can't talk anymore about this game today. I can't talk anymore about this game today.
Just it was that bad.
Yeah, it was bad. When your team's only on the other side of the 50 in the first half, you realize they have 6 first down first halves in this. There's no home field advantage. None.
Yeah,
none.
At one point, I think they had as many first downs as Deshaun was sacked. It was like 6. It was a real, real bad afternoon for them. And again, and they go on the road now for the next 3. And winning on the road in the NFL ain't easy to do.
No, but at least they did that against Jacksonville. So maybe there is no place sweeter than being on the road.
What if this year's the reverse from last year, right? They were dominant at home. They went 8-1, right? Now they're 0-2. You know what? I'm going to be positive for once. In spite of all of the complete and utter failure, the complete and utter disaster that this loss was, the fact that basically every important player not named Deshaun Watson and Amari Cooper is banged up and hurt and getting MRIs on Monday, I'm going to be positive and say, you know what? What if they become the Road Warriors this year and they win a bunch of games on the road and struggle at home? I hope that's not the case, but at this point, when you got 3 straight games, you got to play. But before we get out of here, we got to give Amari Cooper his credit.
Oh, I agree. You know what? I couldn't think of a better scenario to open the game with. You've got confidence issues between Deshaun and Amari. Boom, first play, and it was a nice catch too. I mean, it wasn't an easy catch.
He had a couple of really nice catches.
Yeah,
he had a couple of them. So. Real nice job by Amari. Real nice job, Deshaun, getting him the football. But man, this is going to be a very important and potentially difficult week for this football team because they got to get the injury results on Monday and Tuesday, And then they got to, once they get those results on Tuesday, Andrew Berry's got to go to work to figure out what, if anything, he has to do to shore this roster up so they can get through the next couple weeks. Because, like I said, it's just, I'm most nervous about Myles Garrett.
Let's wait. Keep your nerves to yourself. All I can say now is, Viva Las Vegas. That's the next game for the Browns. Maybe they can go out there and get healthy. It's always game day in Cleveland.